Let's open up our final session of the day with hymn 215, hymn number 215.
Our gracious, loving, and kind Father in heaven, in whom we live and move and have our being, hallowed be thy name, and the name of thy dear Son, our Lord and Redeemer, Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the sentiments of this hymn that we have sung together at the opening of this service, dear Father. We thank thee for that cleansing stream, the blood of Christ, which we come under to wash away our sins and have access to thee in prayer and the privilege of entering this new and living way. We thank thee for the service that is before us now, a reminder to each of us that have given our hearts to thee of our desire to walk in newness of life and follow in the footsteps of our Master, to sacrifice our all to do thy will. We pray thy blessing and guidance on the service as Brother Stein will break the bread of life to us from thy word to help us to renew our vows of consecration, help us to join in together with the hearts of these dear ones that desire to symbolize their desire to be found in him, to be shaped and chiseled and polished, that faithful they might be able to drink this cup that we all do anew with him. And so we look to thee in this hour for thy blessing and for thy strength to each one that will give their heart to thee. For we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening again, brethren. In the tabernacle setting, how many days was it the consecration of the priesthood? How many days were involved? 7 days. Now, for the priesthood that we hope to be and a part of in our daily lives, how many days a week is our consecration process? 7. It's a little bit different in terms of it's an everyday thing for us. We're very thankful to have the opportunity to have Brother David address us. And the title of his remarks for today is The Greatest Choice. The Greatest Choice, Brother David.
Good evening once again, brethren. And good evening, Sister Lorianne. I had the privilege of having some wonderful fellowship with Sister Lorianne at dinner, and have found that the Spirit of God is strong in her, and her love of the Lord, her enthusiasm for the truth, and her steadfastness in making the greatest choice of her life. And we'd like to talk a little bit about that process of making that greatest choice. One of the characteristics which the Creator has endowed each one of us with is free moral agency. It means that we can decide for ourselves what we wish to do, what we wish to say, or what we wish to believe. However, I'm sure all of you have found that great privilege, that great gift, to be a mixed bag sometimes, because along with the freedom of choice comes a concept called responsibility, which means that if we make a decision, we must live with the consequences of that decision, for good or for evil. Now, I think as we consider our consecrated lives, we have to conclude that our lives are filled with choices, literally filled with choices. Some of them are so trivial that we're scarcely aware that we've made a choice. For example, choosing a seat in this auditorium, selecting the clothes that you'll wear today, the food that you will eat from the menu, or the greeting that you'll make to your brother. These are all choices that we make, small and trivial, but choices nevertheless. But there are more important choices that we make in our lives that have a much, much greater impact. For example, the choice of who to marry. Perhaps the choice to marry or not to marry. The choice of what career that we're going to pursue. The choice of raising a family, to having children. These are all much more substantial in our life. But for the vast majority of us here, there came a time in our life when we made the most important choice. And that was the choice to consecrate our lives, to offer our lives in consecration in the service of our Heavenly Father, the great God Jehovah. It is the most serious choice. It has the farthest-reaching consequences, and has the potential for the greatest amount of good that we could possibly bring into our lives. As we mentioned, free moral agency has consequences. It is impossible for us to be disobedient if we didn't have free moral choice. To obey or not to obey is only capable for those creatures that can make choices. But you know, one of the things that impressed me, a brother told me some years ago, that one of the greatest consequences of having freedom of choice, and it's part of what we are being made in the image of God, is that without the freedom of choice, we would not have the capacity to love. Think about that for a moment. We know that love is one of the primary attributes of our God, but it is an attribute of us only because we can make a choice. We were mentioned earlier, we have engineers here. engineers can design some very sophisticated robots. Could you design a robot to love? I don't know how you would do it. A robot would only do what it's programmed to do. But God, in his infinite wisdom, made all of us, made mankind, in his image to have that capability. And so for us to make the choice to say that, Jehovah God, our dear Heavenly Father, I love you so very, very much that I want to dedicate my life to doing your will. Now, our Heavenly Father, that is something he loves to hear because it is the reciprocation of his love to us. You know, one of the most astounding scriptures that I can think of is where Jesus was praying to the Heavenly Father one day. And he says, Father, I pray that these may be one, even as you and I are one. Think about the implication of that for a moment. I can't think of a closer, tighter relationship between two individuals, two beings in the universe, than that which exists between Jehovah God and his beloved Son Jesus. Can you think of a stronger relationship? I can't. I cannot imagine the bond of love and respect and admiration and honor that exists between those two. And yet Jesus in that prayer says, Father, I would like them to be one like we are one. Jesus and Jehovah are inviting the church into that bond. That's an awesome thought. And that invitation is responded to by the choice we make of consecration. How do we make choices? Here's a five-step process. At least that's what they taught us in engineering school. But I think that it applies here. Step number one, you gather information. Step number two, you analyze and you evaluate the information. You try to work it into a pattern, build understanding. Step number three, you draw some conclusions. You formulate a plan of action. Step number four, you carry out the plan of action. And step number five is the feedback loop. Evaluate the results of your action and make changes accordingly. Now, everyone in this room that has made a consecration has gone through that process, you know, whether aware of the steps or not. When we began to be introduced to God, we were impressed by his love. We were impressed by the love that he had for Jesus. We were impressed by the love that Jesus had for the Heavenly Father, that he would leave this wonderful position he had in the heavens before his pre-human existence, give that up in its entirety, empty himself to come down to be born as a human being, to become a perfect human being, to become what is certainly to be considered the king of the earth. And then what does he do? He gives up that kingship of the earth. He gives up that perfect humanity in sacrifice and dies. And God lifts him up again. As we came to understand that, and as we came to understand that that death of Jesus was a choice that he made that would result in the good of nearly every living creature in the family of Adam, we were moved. We thought to ourselves, wow, what love Jesus had. What a wonderful God Jehovah must be for Jesus to do this. I need to know more. And so we begin to look into the scriptures, to gather some more information. And every step that we go, every precept that we begin to build, one precept on another, our love and our admiration for our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus grows. Then we start to think about this. Well, God doesn't give knowledge for no reason. He gives us knowledge so that we can grow and we can become something different than we are now. He gives us knowledge so that we can make better choices. Well, let's think about this some more. How can I clean my life up a little bit just to show how much I appreciate the truth and the righteousness of God? So we begin to bring our lives little by little more into conformity with that. Then we sit down and we say, well, it's necessary for me to do something real serious about that. If God has shown such love for me and inspired me in such a way, I want to do something that would please him. And lo and behold, somebody says, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, a very familiar scripture to Bible students. It is the invitation to consecration. And when we reach that plateau of knowledge, all of a sudden this jumps out at us. And Paul says, and I want you to see if you can understand the emotion here in Paul's voice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul is one of those that had made a consecration. And Paul is one of those who had experienced the consequence of that choice. A wonderful life of walking in the footsteps of Jesus, of holding on to the hand of the Master, and having access to prayer, to the great God in the universe. That's how we should look at Paul's life. Now, a cynical person might say, well, wait a second. Paul suffered, and he had this problem and that problem, and he didn't have very nice of a life at all. But what would Paul say? Paul said, this is a treasure beyond what... Everything else that happened is refuse compared to this relationship that I have. I think that I'll take Paul's perspective on it rather than somebody else's. Paul was blessed, exceedingly blessed, beyond measure, beyond what he could tell. He says, I exceeded in revelation. I can't even tell you everything that I had. That's part of the blessings that came from Paul's consecration. So we are invited. Brother Barton wrote a beautiful poem. Don't have it here, but you may remember it. One here, one there. Talking about how the great God of the universe has touched every one of your lives. Sister Lorianne's life, Brother David's life, Brother Wes's life, Brother Jim's life. He has picked each one of you and touched you with a knowledge of the truth. And you began to hear that invitation, follow my son. You know, nobody comes to God on their own choice. What did Jesus say? No man cometh unto me unless the Father draw him. Now, we have to be so very careful here to think, well, I must be something since God called me. Well, that is absolutely the wrong attitude. The right attitude, and it's the attitude that most of the brethren have, is surprise and awe and shock that God would be interested in them. And I hear such expressions of humility all the time. I don't know why God called me. Well, that is the very attitude that is necessary to make your calling election sure. God has seen some potential in each one of us, that we're the offscourings of the world. You know, it says that the world doesn't have what God is looking for. But in each of your lives, he has something that he can add. You know, we've been studying the pyramid as a picture of that amalgamated church with Jesus as the head and the 144,000 together. And each one of you has the potential to add exactly what Jehovah God has required and has set out as what would be part of that church. You know, brethren, the crown that is allocated to you is yours to lose. And we lose it by not getting in that feedback loop, constantly checking. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 13 said for us to monitor ourselves, to watch ourselves, to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. But as we do so, we get blessings, and sometimes we get shocks. I think Sister Lorianne and I were talking about that the Lord opens our eyes to our own weaknesses and our own perfections, and we don't like what we see. But that's part of the growth. That's part of the blessing. Jehovah God is the supreme lover of mankind. And you know what the Greek word for lover of mankind is? Philanthropist. Philo, love. Anthropos, man. Love of man. John 3:16, you see it all the time. For God so loved the world of mankind that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, if we are to be made in the image of Jesus, who was a philanthropist, and be in the image of God, who is a philanthropist, guess what? We must be philanthropists. we must love mankind. And indeed, that is one of the proper motives for laying our life down. We say to God, Heavenly Father, if you would accept my offering to serve you, I would dearly love to participate in that wonderful work that you have in the future under the auspices of your Son Jesus to bless mankind, to lift them up from the imperfection, to fill their minds with the knowledge of you so that they would know how to love you just as I have. That is a wonderful motivator and a wonderful source of strength as we walk along the narrow way. When Jesus consecrated, you remember that right after he consecrated, he was subjected to trials. And Sister Lori Ann, you and I talked about this as well. The adversary would love to stamp out your enthusiasm for the truth. He would love to cut you off and get you off out of the way. So be prepared. We don't want to scare you because we know God is with you. But when Jesus was taken into the wilderness, he was subjected to temptation. Temptations according to the flesh, temptations from the world, and then temptations from Satan himself. There you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is an experience that every member of the church must confront all the time, daily. But we have the power of God. The Heavenly Father is going to give you a token of that wonderful hope in the future, and that's the beginning of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is indeed a power. You know, we as Bible students, we don't talk too much about the power of God. You know, certainly I get turned off about it if I see it on the nominal systems, you know. But the power of God is real. It enables each one of us to bear things that we didn't think we could bear. It enables us to stand up and say things at a time we didn't think we'd be able to stand up. But most importantly, it is building within us the character of Christ. To be more loving, to be kinder, to be more compassionate, to be more just. All of these wonderful qualities that we see embodied in Jesus are ours to grow and to develop. And that's one of the faithful things that the Heavenly Father says he will do for us. He will help us to grow. In fact, if we have the mind to submit day by day, then we are told it will be impossible for us not to be fruitful. What we need to do merely and only is to submit. Submit. We saw the great pyramid, that bowing down that Wes was telling us about. That's the submittal that's necessary in consecration. And if you do that, again, it is impossible for you not to be fruitful. We don't want to make the way seem too hard or too easy. It will have both hardness and ease in it, and all in the right order. You remember when Israel came out of Egypt after the overthrowing of Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. They came into the wilderness ashore, and in 3 days they were complaining about lack of water. Moses got upset with them. They had what they thought was a terrible trial. Well, the Lord gave them some water in a miraculous way, and then he brought them to a place called Elim, which was a place of ease. We often find that immediately after a very difficult trial in the narrow way, the Lord brings us to Elim. He brings us to that point where we can think about that trial, evaluate our response, evaluate our performance, be fed at the feet of Jesus a little bit, and to grow in strength in recovery from it. Again, that's one of the things that the Lord promises he will do for us. And another promise is that he will never give you, Sister Lori Ann, never give you a trial you can't bear. We have that as a sure promise, that we will not be stressed beyond what we are able. And we can turn that around a little bit and use it as a positive force when we're under trial by saying to ourselves, well, I've got this awful burden to bear. It's really tough. But Father knows that if I couldn't bear it, I wouldn't have it. That's encouraging to think of as well. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter talks about the precious promises. 2 Peter 1, 4 says, whereby are given unto us some nice promises. No, no. Some good promises? No. Some precious promises? Well, we're getting there. Now, Peter writes, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These are exceedingly great and precious. And we need to draw upon these promises constantly in walking in the narrow way to give us strength. For every problem or difficulty that we have, we can find a promise. Now, here's a bit of advice for you. Sometimes we're dealing with something and we can't find the promise. You know it's there, but you can't find it. What do? I get on the phone. Brother Al, I got a problem and can you help me with it? You have a tremendous resource in the family of Christ. A tremendously powerful place where you can get strength and inspiration by calling your brethren. All of us, dear friends, need to recognize that simple truth that every joint supplieth. None of you are complete in yourselves. We all need one another. And that's part of the lesson that comes with this integrating all of the members into the mystical body of Christ, of which you are now a member. Well, I think it's time for me to wrap up, and Brother Laddie is shaking his head. Baptism is a symbol of coming into the death of Christ. The laying down in the water is symbolically going into the grave, and being raised again is being raised to newness of life. It is a symbol. It is a means by which you, Sister Lorianne, will tell all of us of this choice that you have made, of your relationship now with Jesus, and your willingness and desire to walk the narrow way. It's one of the reasons why immersion service is so exciting, because we see that the Lord is yet, even at this late date, adding unto the body members. We rejoice to have you within our family. And everyone here, I'm sure, will say, what can I do to help you? And you will say that to us. For who knows, in another short period of time, it may be that you have something that we need that would help us. That's the way it works. Sister Lorianne, I have a couple questions for you, and I wonder if I can get you to stand up. Sister Lorianne, have you repented of sin with such restitution as you are able? And are you trusting the merit of Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins as the basis of your justification? Number two, which is only two. Have you made a full consecration of yourself with all your powers that you possess, all to the Lord, to be used faithfully in his service, even unto death? I would like to be the first to give you the right hand of fellowship and welcome you into the family of the Lord. And I also have a scripture for you that I hope will remember to you this day of standing before the brethren. I'm probably selfish in this, but this is my favorite text. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, this is Jehovah, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Sister Lorianne, may the Lord bless you as you walk the narrow way.
Thank you, Brother David. Extra little bonus on the end of our convention. We weren't expecting that coming in, and we're so glad to have that additional delivery of every time there's a baptismal service, it's a refreshing look back on our own consecrations, and it's not something that you do once. And, oh, yeah, I remember when I consecrated. It's every day. So it's all very relevant to us. And I appreciated Brother David mentioning that we would all be certainly willing to offer our hand and support and prayer and any way we can. and it's back, you know, back and forth. You're going to look for opportunities to help others. And one of the brethren once said that, you know, if you help someone cross the Jordan, the River Jordan, and you get help them get across, lo, you yourself have crossed. So it's not a bad idea. We're very thankful for the opportunity now to have the actual baptismal service. And I think we can excuse our candidate and just follow Brother Laddie. The rest of us will join in singing hymn 208, and we will also be concluding in prayer. Brother David will close with prayer. And at the end of the prayer, we'll just exit out the back door and go left, and you'll be directed. It's a very short little path to the pool. Are we bringing hymn books with us, Brother Laddie? And yes, we are. So take your hymn books with you after the close of 208. And we'll have a closing prayer again by Brother David.
Great and marvelous God, Jehovah, the greatest name in the universe. Father, we approach you to thank you so very much for this opportunity to be here this evening to witness the water immersion service for our dear sister Lorianne. How excited it fills our heart with joy, dear Father, as we contemplate not only her consecration and immersion, but as we think back to the beginning of our walk in Christ. How thankful we are, Father, that you've called us, and you've been patient with us and have been working with us, some of us, for many years. How much we yearn to complete our walk on this side of the veil, that we might start that wonderful work of service beyond the veil that will glorify your name as has never occurred before in the history of the earth. Father, we humbly ask your Holy Spirit to be with our dear sister this evening as she begins her walk of consecration, as she looks to you and looks to Jesus, holding his hand, trying to make the right choices day by day that would be in full harmony with her consecration. May we, Father, as we have opportunity, be encouraging to our dear sister in this manner. And of course, dear Father, we pray that we might be attentive to the needs of every one of your dear sheep, wherever they may be. May we always look for the health of the body of Christ and lay out our consecrated lives so that we die daily for our fellow brethren. Please be with us now and be with our service as it continues on. We humbly and happily ask these things in Jesus' dear name. Amen.